December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
Welcome, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. It is my honor to be here tonight and welcome you to the program. We have a very interesting program tonight, and I just know that you're going to enjoy it because we are going to take all of the principles and all of the methodologies of the beneficiaries in common payment method. And we're going to apply them across the board to an ongoing, actual, real-live, real-time case in which a sentence was recently handed down to a noted luminary by the name of Conrad Black. And we're going to use Mr. Black's case to demonstrate how you, in your cases, how anyone listening to my voice would be able to avoid having to spend a day in prison for any of the typical white-collar, commercial, political crimes in equity that are used to enrich the United States federal corporation. So that said, let me welcome you to the program. It is Sunday, December 16th, just after 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Northeast, my friends, is getting socked by what has come to be called a nor'easter, and it has certainly lived up to its name. We probably have at least a foot of snow outside, and it's huffing and puffing, and nature is letting us know that we're in charge of nothing. Yesterday's program, we discussed the idea of a rapid response team, and I've had some interesting feedback on that, which, time permitting, I'll share with you. But let me just reemphasize the point, if I may, that anyone hearing my voice who considers himself to be a gifted litigator or someone who is quick on his feet might do well to consider taking the technology that I reviewed December 1st on this very program, which is available for download in the archives, and implementing it in a rapid response modality that is available to help all of those people, many of them elderly, who are facing sheriff sales, and where we will be seeing a drastic increase in the numbers of foreclosures and such sales and unlawful detainer actions over the next year or so. And if anyone had the pleasure of listening to our favorite celebrity, of course, the former chairman of the privately held Federal Reserve Bank on one of the Sunday morning talk shows this morning, you would have, you would have heard him speak about a $200 billion shortfall in the mortgage markets. Now, what he wasn't talking about, of course, was the fact that the shortfall is really at the back end from all of the mortgage-backed securities that have been issued and which have been floated into foreign markets and central banks around the world. And those things are sitting there waiting for demands for the banks to honor up on them as the lack of value in the underlying mortgages has become pretty much general knowledge around the world. Anyway, you're listening to Take No Prisoners. We'll be back in 3 minutes, and we're going to talk about the case of Conrad Black.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
I woke up on the cement floor this morning.
Welcome back, my friend. This is the Sunday night edition of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's December 16th, and the call-in line tonight is 1-800-313-9443, and I hope to be able to take your calls later in the program. Folks, if you need a break from the stress of living your life or attempting to live your life, free from intrusions by the various agencies and bureaucrats who work for the United States Federal Corporation, may I suggest you order a novel by Tom Wolfe. I'm sure many of you have heard of it, probably many of you have read it, called Bonfire of the Vanities, a truly brilliant piece of literary fiction disguised as commercial fiction. A stunning tale which is set in the seething, moneyed corridors of the Big Apple, New York, New York, which memorializes the downfall, in fairly classic fashion, of Sherman McCoy, who is a bond trader and self-proclaimed master of the universe. You know, every novel, there is something that's known as a plot skeleton that applies to virtually every novel that has ever been written. And writers talk about these things, but even outside the the meetings and conferences and discussions that writers might have in private. You're probably aware that you are attracted to a novel that has an instantly recognizable protagonist, and if he's not likable, if you don't care for him, at least you care about him, and he faces an immediate problem. Now, there are two levels when you write a novel. One is the theme, and one is the plot, and the two work hand in hand, but the actual theme may not initially be visible, may not always be visible, actually, in the novel. And in that particular book, the problem that this particular protagonist faced, which was visible to me and other writers, I'm sure, early on, was when he proclaimed himself a master of the universe. And to a non-writer, that probably would not have been recognized as being the predictor, the foreteller of the events that were to happen in that book. But as a professional novelist at one time, it was pretty apparent to me, much like when the manufacturers and owners of the Titanic termed it to be unsinkable. It was clear that that was a satanic challenge to natural law and to the Word of God. And so it isn't a real surprise that the only ship that is deemed unsinkable that I'm aware of in history sunk on its maiden voyage. That's sort of stunning irony to some and a biblical prophecy to others. Well, tonight we'll be discussing the case of Conrad Black. You might say he's a real-life Sherman McCoy, a real-life master of the universe, an architect of what was the third largest media conglomerate in the world, which at one point included, I believe, 60% of Canadian newspapers and hundreds of newspapers in the United States and Australia and Europe and even the Jerusalem Post in Israel. Now, all accounts suggest that Mr. Black was a fiercely proud man, perhaps arrogant, but perhaps deservedly proud, at least of his accomplishments, because he was a self-made man. His father was reportedly wealthy, but certainly his approach to the newspaper world and his success within it was self-made, as he started one company, I believe it was back in the 70s perhaps, and then another corporation, and eventually he started a company, called the Hollinger Group. And that was sometime in the 1990s. And it was under Hollinger that the group acquired much of its newspaper holdings. At some point during the tenure of that company, with Conrad Black as CEO, some of the stockholders began to complain about some of the accounting. And in 2003, I believe it was, the start of the downfall of this unfortunate man began with certain stockholder complaints and then the appointment. You know how these things mushroom. This is almost classic. Probably without reading the story, if I ask you to describe to me what you think happened to this man to bring him down and bring him to the point of being sentenced to 6.5 years in a United States debtor's warehouse, you'd probably be able to lay it out without having read a newspaper account. It started out as complaints, and then someone appoints a committee, and the next thing you know, the company finds improprieties, and Conrad Black is no longer the CEO. And in exchange for all of his service, which built the company from nothing, he winds up involved in a bunch of civil lawsuits. Well, what happens when you have civil lawsuits and allegations of theft of funds or loose accounting or misappropriation of funds in a corporation? Who comes in? Who sniffs around the edges of that? Who comes in to see if it can take its bite? Of course, the SEC.
And so the SEC came forward, and then the next thing you know, the United States sent its formal offer to expand funds under public policy in the form of an indictment, which was the architect of which was a Chicago prosecutor. And pretty much like Johnny on the Pony, everyone starts piling on. I've been in a case like that myself personally. That's how I became who I am. A simple civil matter where I sent a bill to a party was taken by the party's attorney and the party to the police because the person with whom I had the dispute was a former cop who had friends in the force. Next thing you know, an arrest warrant is issued. And lo and behold, the Sam Kennedy that you know was born because I said never again. I never, ever will present myself and stick out my hands to be arrested and fingerprinted. I will never relinquish control over my domain. And I will see to it that as many people around the world that I can reach who are open to that message will receive it as well. And it's an old story, and it was applied to Mr. Black. Mr. Black was charged with the usual array of commercial crimes. Now, those who are new to the program may not understand that all crime is commercial. If you'd like proof, simply Google Code of Federal Regulations. And when you find the U.S. government site, click on Browse, scroll down to Title 27, and scoot over to Section 72.11, and you'll read the list of commercial crimes: kidnapping, white slavery, revenue, offenses against the revenue laws, drug laws, all that kind of nonsense. Of course, because the United States has been a corporation since 1871, and if you don't believe me, then you might want to Google 28 U.S.C. Section 3002, and various Supreme Court cases. This may sound like some cockeyed, covert, reactionary conspiracy theory garbage, but in fact, the United States functions as a corporation. It has to, for a variety of reasons, including which the original United States was never reconvened after the Civil War. That's how federal supremacy came to be, and the states which were supreme prior to the Civil War ceased to occupy that position. They were conquered during the Civil War. But anyway, the United States Federal Corporation has no jurisdiction over men and women, only over legal fictions, subcorporations of the United States Federal Corporation. And those subcorporations come in two general varieties. Variety number one are the entities that we think of and know as corporations. They apply to one of the states, with a capital S, the state of New York, capital S, small t-a-t-o-f, capital n-e-w, capital y-o-r-k. Now, imagine if you were driving a Chevrolet with a capital C, and suddenly you decided to retitle it Car, capital C, known as a Chevrolet. Well, car known as a Chevrolet could be a piece of paper with that, those words on it, could be a miniature mock-up of it, could be the name of a corporation, could be anything. But car known as Chevrolet is not Chevrolet. It's a different legal entity. Do not doubt former President Clinton when he says it all depends on how you define the word is. And the state of New York and the state of Rhode Island and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and Pennsylvania and the state of Florida and the state of California are not New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Florida, and California listed and signed for on the original Constitution. So the United States created corporate states in the image of the original geographic states, and therefore has to work through those entities on sub-corporations to raise its revenues. We'll be back to continue this discussion about Conrad Black in just a moment, folks.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
To America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice
back,
coins.
Friend.
Insert dollars.
We're discussing the case of Conrad Black, a former newspaper mogul, CEO of a company of his origin, which owns 60% of Canadian newspapers and hundreds of other newspapers around the world, and a man who sustained a classic, almost literary fall from grace. And in, I believe it was June of this year, was convicted of certain counts of commercial crimes. And we'll go into those in just a second. How much do you know about the plague? The plague, like many illnesses, is transmitted through a series of, now this is the incorrect term, I don't mean this in a microbiology sense, but a series of parasites. One creature feeding off another, basically, until the pathogen works its way up to the real target, which is the target of greatest opportunity and the greatest food supply, which would be human beings. See, plague is transmitted through the bite of a flea, which is carrying the pathogen that was picked up from biting into the skin of an infected rat. Very normal, natural course of transmission in the world of microbiology. Also, a normal course of transmission in the world of U.S. attorneys and how they prosecute cases in the United States. They almost never can prosecute these crimes based upon the paper, so they need someone to fold. So what do? They go after the weakest common denominator, and if you're standing together, they put in a motion in a court of equity to a United States judge who receives his paycheck from the same corporation that they do, and they say, this is unfair to the United States. We must separate these defendants because a group defense would be unfair to the poor, lowly United States and the billions of dollars of resources it's prepared to expend to back this prosecution. And that's what happened in this case. In September of 2005, a fellow by the name of David Radler pled guilty. Pled guilty to what? Doesn't matter, does it? Because any guilty plea that carries jail time is all the U.S. prosecutor needs to be able to have Mr. Radler or some other patsy in a case turn state's evidence. And so in November of 2005, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago charged Mr. Black with 8 counts of mail fraud and wire fraud. Now, folks, you know, my audience is very knowledgeable. We all know that if the best the U.S. can come up with is mail fraud, something snuck through the Postal Department that was intended to defraud, a charge that depends upon proving intention, we know that they've got nothing other than an indictment. We have an indictment to get the ball rolling so we can bring the owner of the vessel in. Yes, Mr. Black, you, Conrad Black, the living man, were presumed to be the owner or the surety for the defendant that was charged in the case, a straw party subcorporation, an account of the United States that was created, in most people's case, that account, was created when mom applied for the certificate of live birth, and then a second trust account was created when the application for the Social Security benefits were presented to the United States. Now, as a Canadian-born natural man at the time, mom applied for a certificate of live birth to Canada. But both Canada and the United States are overseen by the same receiver, the International Monetary Fund in this country, through the Federal Reserve Bank, with the Secretary of the Treasury acting as the trustee for that entity. So it was not you, but it was a fictional strawman that was charged. We know that because a corporation can only charge a fictional entity, a fiction of law, a created entity, not a living man, which is why all crime is commercial, or because all crime is commercial, it can only charge a fiction. So the fiction was charged, and had you known better, you would have been able to take that indictment and return it to them with certain procedures that we'll review today. It's still not too late, but that would have been the end of where that case was going. Instead, you did what most people, 99.999% of people will do. You secured the best criminal attorney you could afford, and you placed yourself in their hands, not realizing that that attorney's job, he doesn't even realize it, is to keep you in as a compliant robot, keep you in the fold as a compliant robot. And you had a huge advantage because you had previously expatriated, so you could accept the appointment as a lord after nomination by Margaret Thatcher in England, and you remember the House of Lords. So that indictment that came down was step number one, and you bit. You hired an attorney, and you appeared. And that appearance placed you into the case as a surety for that defendant. And then what did you do? Probably in the month of November, you held a negotiation and you told them, we are not going to plead guilty to this case. We're going to plead not guilty and fight you with everything I have. And of course,
you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
For miles around, you can hear the drums from hollow logs and old tom toms. Cry from a jungle so loud and plain.
Welcome back, my friend.
The boogie train, it's a boogie thing.
Of course, the United States, a month later, added to the 8 counts of mail and wire fraud by charging Mr. Black, by charging the straw party known as Mr. Conrad Black, with racketeering, obstruction of justice, and money laundering. Now, years before you knew what was going on in the United States, folks, you probably find charges like that pretty shocking, just like people reading the newspaper accounts. That dastardly man, how dare he? Racketeering. Wasn't the RICO Act in Title 18 conceived to prosecute members of organized crime? Of course it was, but it's been used against everybody from churches to lawyers to doctors and newspaper moguls, because when you place the availability of statutes, collection bills, in the hands of prosecutors who face election, they will use every tool at their disposal. They know better. So he was charged with money laundering, We know that's laughable. How do you launder money? Well, you do it every day when you use Federal Reserve notes, which are pieces of paper that have no value. They are notes. They are promissory notes, negotiable instruments that offer an unconditional promise to pay. In other words, they are evidence of liability. And when you offer evidence of liability for a tangible good or service on your behalf, what would you call it if not money laundering? You gave nothing for something, and that something has substance. The United States is the biggest money launderer in the world. Modern currencies are based upon money laundering. So Mr. Black was charged with being too good at applying some form of money of exchange. He was charged with obstruction of justice. And what is that? That is failure to enter into a conspiracy or a dishonor of an offer to enter into a conspiracy to violate the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. Yes, I know, my friends, the Constitution has been in suspension since 1861. There is no functioning Constitution. All of these trials happen in equity. Sure, all of that's true. But basically, obstructing justice in cases like this consists of someone's unwillingness to participate with another party who is violating what appears to be the Constitution by compelling that person to cast witness against himself. You lied to an agent of the government. How dare you? What it is an indictment for being stupid by having even spoken to them in the first place. Excuse me, I do my business, which is what this is, in writing. Put your questions down in writing, send them in, and if I get around to it between paying the cable bill and the phone bill, maybe I'll answer them. And he was charged with racketeering. We all know what that is. It's participating in an ongoing enterprise of racketeering. So apparently, he was a dastardly man. When in fact, what Mr. Black did was sell a number of the newspapers. I'm sure he did a number of things, but the one that gets most notoriety is selling a number of newspapers, and as part of the compensation, he took back what I believe was a personal non-competitive clause. Just like I took back when I sold a practice years ago. I agreed not to compete, and that agreement to compete is very valuable. And the Hollinger Group felt that those funds belonged rightly to the corporation. And from their perspective, I could see why they would. However, it wasn't the Hollinger Group that was the biggest threat to those newspapers. It was Mr. Black, the architect of the Hollinger Group's takeover of so many newspapers. I would say that there's a good case to be made that the value of that non-competitive clause should go to the party that was the greatest threat to the companies that purchased those newspapers from Hollinger. But they didn't see it that way, so he was indicted. And then, of course, the coup de grace, you know what's missing here. Take a guess. Don't disappoint me. What do you think he was charged with in 2006? Come on, something close to your heart now, folks, because almost all of you listening to my voice have been charged with it. Tax evasion, of course. Evading the privilege of giving your funds to a foreign corporation. So he was charged. And he went to trial. He held steadfastly, almost arrogantly, to his innocence, not realizing that there's no such thing as innocence. And on the other hand, anyone who hires an attorney in these circumstances, whose obligation it is to keep him in as a compliant robot, when all the attorney had to do was come forward at the arraignment and say, "Excuse me, sir, we're in the middle of private negotiation procedures here, and my client is not prepared to plead or just say that Mr. Jones or Mr. Smith, in this case Mr. Black, is not prepared to plead. or don't identify Mr. Black as the defendant, or imagine an attorney walking into court and saying, excuse me, judge, I'm here in my official capacity. That fellow over there is Conrad, whatever his middle name is, of the family Black. He's here in capacity as a living man. He's not willing to stipulate to the status of defendant. Could you please point out the vessel in the courtroom and the papers indicating it's been placed under arrest so we know there's an active case here? Can you imagine what an admiralty attorney could have done if the admiralty attorney had been equipped with the knowledge that the criminal court is just another admiralty venue in disguise? How easy it would have been? That's why when we go to prosecutors and we show them, when we go to defense attorneys and conflict defenders and public defenders and we show them firsthand how those 40 cases got arraigned and I didn't, they'll still argue in the hallway, I'm going to go in there and swear out an affidavit that you are the defendant. And, of course, that never happens. The judge won't let them in most cases because he knows that would be the end of the attorney's career. The attorney is trained, even the defense attorney is trained to keep you within the system. Or as attorneys have said to me and the people I work with hundreds of times, I wouldn't dream of doing that. When we bring in a judge for a show cause hearing, when we settle the case commercially, when we return the papers as defective, or we return them as paid and satisfied. So anyway, just recently, I think it was, a week or two ago, Mr. Black was sentenced to 6.5 years in prison, far less than the prison sentence that was sought by the prosecutors. And the judge at the time stated something like he had violated his duty to Hollinger International shareholders. Have you ever heard a truer words or a truer confession? He is being sentenced as a debtor in a debtor's court, and he does not have to spend one day of that sentence, because the truth of the matter is that Mr. Black, that Conrad Black, was not sentenced to anything. Defendant Conrad Black, or Mr. Black, the piece of paper, was sentenced. So what would we do? Time to take out the pens, friends, especially if you're a newcomer. The first thing, of course, is we would take that sentence and we would either accept it for value, or we would, and we would mark on it accepted for value in red ink diagonally across the page and sign it and put down the number of our account with the Department of Treasury as creditor to the legal fiction, which means we would probably, even prior to that, establish a security agreement with the legal fiction, signing as its trustee and as the living man, entitling us to the first $100 million, $1 billion, $100 billion of funds as our collateral. So if you do business with that straw party, you're my debtor. I'm first in line. All funds belong to me, and we would file a copy of that with the UCC and provide notice to the Department of Treasury, to the Secretary of the Treasury, as the United States trustee. And there are thousands of people listening to my voice who have done that. Then we would take that instrument and we would either return it within 72 hours or by itself, or we would return it with some documents of presentment if sufficient time had been accumulated to forge our response. But if not, we could return the indictment and we could note on it that it's accepted for value for our credit with the United States, for all property that was confiscated in 1933 and really held in escrow for us, or we could mark pay to the United States Treasury and send a copy back, and along with other documents, or other documents following a few days later, and forward that document on to the U.S. trustee, the Secretary of the Treasury, Henry Paulson, for settlement, and that's true whether or not you're a United States citizen. The very next step would be to fund our account so it is publicly visible. And the instrument we use for that is a what we call a BIC indemnity bond, a private issue discharging and indemnification bond in which the court, the prosecutor, the various actors that are involved, the various entities and fictions that are involved are named as account holders such that a $300 million bond is set aside with their names on it, reserving the funds for them. That indemnity bond is a deposit slip. When we get the green card back and attach it to a copy of that indemnity bond, that is a deposit slip that the funds are on reserve for those parties. And in a case like this with 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 charges at least, allowing $400 million for each, we'd be piling on the indemnity bonds. Over a period of time, we would probably establish 15 or 20 indemnity bonds in an amount of $300 million in a 30-year term each. That is the creation of funds under public policy. And if you don't understand the rules of public policy, and most attorneys wouldn't even know what we're talking about, then I suggest you read HJR 192 and Executive Order, 6301 or 6302, I believe, confiscating all gold. And heck, read your own deed and ask yourself, when did you become a tenant? And if you're the tenant, who's the landlord? And also you might want to Google Lewis McFadden's speeches to Congress in 1934, explain much of what the present system of economics is. The present system of economics is bankruptcy. The United States declared bankruptcy. It went into receivership through HJR 192 back in 1933. And if you doubt me, I ask you, what is the only possible system of law when legal tender, when the only method of payment recognized by a society for tangible goods and services is to use instruments of liability, notes, Federal Reserve notes, checks, which are evidence of liability in a checking account. A check gives you a lien right against a checking account. Wire transfers, stocks, bonds, they're all evidence of liability. They have nothing to do with substance. What is the only possible system of government, system of law, so-called law, and system of commerce, when the only way you can pay for something is non-existent, so your only alternative is to discharge the liability using evidence of liability as currency. Now that, my friends, is money laundering. It's exactly what Enron did in trading its liabilities to another company in exchange for money of exchange, which it entered on the books as an asset. The other company entered the liabilities as an asset because it traded them on secondary markets, and everyone was happy. Liabilities being traded for assets. Welcome to the modern world, to George, what was the other Bush's name, his dad's middle initial? George H. Bush? Well, that's probably a memory I'm happy to have forgotten, but George Bush's 1,000 Points of Light and New World Order. See it for what it is. After we file the indemnity bond, and have created the funds under public policy, we would go about the business of settling the account. When that indictment is issued, that indictment is nothing more than an offer to expand funds under public policy. It is a commercial instrument, whether or not you see numbers on it. How do we know? Because what is it in order to do? It is in order to present funds. Didn't you have a substantial fund, Mr. Black, in this case? My apologies for calling you Mr. Black, because you are Conrad Black. You had a substantial fine, I will presume, and your time in prison is a substantial fine as well, all of which can be paid for using the various methods of payment, the beneficiaries in common methods of payment that we're reviewing on this program. We would write an offset bond against those indemnity bonds and consolidating them, much as mortgages are collected and issued certain other securities, certain mortgage-backed bonds, and purchased around the world, which is why this housing crisis is coming apart as we speak, and why Henry Paulson, the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, the company that invented mortgage-backed bonds, is creating the solution through the Department of Treasury. We would issue one or more offset bonds against those indemnity bonds, and those offset bonds would name beneficiaries in the form of the United States Treasury and the accounts that were created on your behalf by mom applying for the certificate of live birth. And up to half of that bond would be applicable to the benefit of that legal fiction entity known as Conrad Black on the certificate of live birth, whatever Social Security card might have in here.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
People get all upset.
friends. Public Broadcasting Network. We're talking about the case of Conrad Black, and if you don't know who he is, you can figure it out when you download this program from the archives later on tonight or tomorrow. So we would issue an offset bond, or what we might call a secured funding and offset bond, or secured funding and set-off bond, against those indemnity bonds. And that offset bond would serve the purpose of linking the Department of Treasury and the Secretary of the Treasury with any parties, any account holders that are attempting to attribute a liability to the straw party dead corporate entity legal fiction defendant in the case. Then that offset bond, by the way, would be mailed into the Department of Treasury at any time 4 days or longer after the indemnity bond is sent to the Department of Treasury. Then we would write a payment instrument of some sort against the offset bond or the set-off bond. The most common payment instrument that we write in the beneficiaries and common payment method is a secured or a bonded promissory note, which is to be routed through the offset bond, and in which funds are being placed at the disposal of fiduciaries named on the instrument. One fiduciary that's always named on the instrument is the Secretary of the Treasury to apply those funds to the benefit of the United States Department of the Treasury. The other fiduciaries vary depending upon the circumstance, but once an attorney has gone fishing and transferred the liability to the court, and the court makes an indictment, the court is now holding the liability, and it's looking for an acceptor on its indictment. That's why the judge, first thing, says, did you receive or have you seen the indictment? Have you had a chance to examine the indictment? Have you had the indictment for 24 hours? That's what he has to know. Because when you say yes, you have signed on as the defendant. Yes, I have accepted that, and now I am in this case. No, Your Honor, if you're referring to the instrument of liability in this case, that was returned, noted, pay to the United States Treasury with a copy to the clerk. I believe your clerk is holding that instrument and is fully liable on the payment. Would you like to bring her before the bar and ask her to plead in the case as the successor surety for the defendant? And believe me, folks, if I got dragged in there in handcuffs, I would have no hesitation in making such a statement, looking the judge square in the eyes. Because I am not going to be accepting liability for that defendant once I've paid its obligations as a courtesy to clear title. Folks, that music means we're at the end of the first hour of Take No Prisoners, and it was just getting good. Please join me after a one-minute station identification when we're going to review all of the technology that could have prevented Mr. Black from going to trial and still can prevent him from having to spend one day in prison. You're listening to